Straight from the land of milk and honey, it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast for those who love insurance talk. He won't go to work until after the view, Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for joining us again at the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. You just listened to Drew McMillan do a fantastic introduction. This is what we pay him the big bucks for. Not. Actually, there's coming a time when Drew is going to get big bucks because he is really doing a fantastic job. And as our podcast audience grows, I get more and more feedback about how they like to hear what Drew has to say at the beginning of every episode. So, thank you for joining us today. When I say us, I'm referring not just to me, but it's not the royal me either. It's the all-inclusive me, because you've got me, Douglas B. Jones, your Medicare expert, and then you have Randy Carson, our engineer. Now, Randy has a really important job that I often ask him to do, but I spring it on him. Sometimes I ask him, sometimes I don't, and we are going to do it today. I'd like to hear the 30-second radio spot that we developed earlier this year. So, Randy, play it out, if you would, please.
Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
All righty. Thank you very much. We enjoy hearing that. And that's a good explanation of why we're here. We've got a lazy man in the title of our podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The book that I sell has Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. We have an excellent website, medicareforthelazyman.com. And the whole thing about this lazy man is that is any man or woman who knows that they have to learn about Medicare, but they're overwhelmed by the thought. They don't really want to have to do all that studying to learn all that insurance jargon. And basically, what we try to do is to make it easy and painless for them to acquire that knowledge so they can make the decisions that they need to make, and eventually everything will just be hunky-dory. That's one of my favorite terms. How do you like hunky-dory as a term, Randy?
I've always wondered, you know, obviously, you know how my mind works in strange and wonderful ways, I might say, but
I've noticed that
other people say not so wonderful, but I've always wondered, we may have to look up the origination of hunky and dory. Do you have,
are there two different things?
Where hunky dory comes from?
Well, a dory would be a small boat, like a small rowboat. And in fact, the dory that I saw that stuck in my mind the most was when I was a kid and I saw the Robert Louis Stevenson, the movie adaptation of Robert Louis Stevenson, where Noah Beery was the pirate and a bunch of Englishmen were sailing out to the South Seas and the crew mutinied. What the heck was that? Mutiny on the Bounty. Anyway, so they had a wacky guy that was, they camped out on an island that was inhabited by a sailor, the survivor of a shipwreck, and he used to row himself around in a completely round rowboat. So he would paddle on one side or the other, and it wouldn't go straight, it would just go around in a circle.
Isn't that kind of counterproductive when you want to go someplace?
I would have thought so, and as I recall, this character was kind of Looney Tunes anyway, so it may be that he did not notice that he wasn't really getting anywhere.
Oh my gosh, that's you know, now that you mention it, Doug, I have seen round boats that, you know, were, I mean, this is back decades, if not hundreds of years ago, but now I wonder how they ever got anywhere with them.
I'm thinking that maybe they had to put two people in them so they could paddle on each side and compensate for the propulsion on one side spinning them in circles. But I'm now fixated by the fact that I can't remember the name of that Robert Louis Stevenson novel about the shipwreck and the mutiny. Wallace Berry. Well, Noah Berry Jr.'s father.
I'm drawing a blank too, so we'll have to look that up. And
it's an English classic.
Drop it on the people.
Yeah, Jackie Coogan was a child star in it. I want to say Jackie Coogan, but now he was the guy who grew up to be a naval officer named Hennessy in the 1960s. So this movie was done in like the 1930s. Jackie, blonde-headed kid, kind of an unusual look to him. Oh, well, it's not important. What is important is Medicare.
And that's we're going to eat our supper first before we go out and play. So
yes,
we're going to stick right to it, Mr. Jones.
Let's get after it. You know, to heck with the title of the movie that I can't remember. But what I did was I tried to go through some of the piles of paperwork I've got around here, because there's a showing, or there have been several showings of my house here in Illinois, and I thought maybe I should clean the joint up a little bit. So I found an article that I thought might be of some value. Now, the thing is, this article floated to the surface since it was written in November of 2018. It's not exactly cutting edge brand new. However, any article written by a Medicare expert at the end of the year is really written in anticipation of what's going to happen the following year. So I think we could say that this article is kind of from 2019, which roughly makes it about a year old. So the title of this article is "The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly of Picking Medicare Advantage Plans." Now, this is getting into a germane area because, frankly, we are rapidly approaching the annual AEP, the annual election period, which starts on October 15th and ends on December 7th. And the annual election period is that time of the year when anybody that's got a Medicare Advantage plan, which they might not like anymore, they can drop that and take another Medicare Advantage plan. Or if somebody has a drug plan and they want to switch drug plans to some other drug plan, then they can do that. And all of these changes would be effective January 1st. Anybody that doesn't have an annual drug or a drug plan or a Medicare Advantage plan, but wants one, God forbid, they can buy them, they can sign up for them to be effective January 1st. No questions asked. So that's what the government has set up, and it's every year starting October 15th, and it creates just a frenzy of activity. And I suspect that frenzy of activity is there because there are a lot of people dissatisfied with what I refer to in the book as the crapola that they bought in a prior year. And they'd like to try out different crapola to see if they hate it the same amount or if they like it a little bit better. So anyway, this Good, the Bad, and the Ugly of Picking Medicare Advantage Plans is written by a guy who is an author in the Medicare space, as the kids like to say. And he is basically writing to people who don't really have a clear idea about Medicare Advantage plans. And he's saying anyone can get a Medicare Advantage plan or switch to one during open enrollment. Now, it's not really open enrollment. It's called AEP, or annual election period. It's to say open enrollment sends the wrong message. It's not really open. And people that want to get a Medicare supplement, which are the more savvy insurance shoppers, that's not open enrollment for them. They can only get an open or a Medicare supplement plan without answering a lot of medical questions if it's around the time they turn 65 or around the time that they are retiring, like if they work until they're older than 65. Maybe they're going to retire at age 70. Then they have the unlimited right during a certain period of time to get a Medicare supplement plan without answering medical questions. Or if they move out of the area of their Medicare Advantage plan, which always has a geographic limitation, they might move to a different place. Well, then they have a right to get a Medicare supplement plan under guaranteed issue. So there are times when persons can get a Medicare supplement plan without medical underwriting, but those times are limited. Every year, on the other hand, Medicare Advantage plan owners can sign up with whatever plan they want to begin the following January 1st. So he says the good, the bad, and the ugly of getting a Medicare Advantage plan. What's the good? The good is simplification. I say it's not true, but he says a single insurance plan put out by an insurance company that takes the place of Medicare. So you could enroll in Medicare. You must actually enroll in Medicare Part A and Medicare Part B. And then if you enroll in a Medicare Advantage plan, they take Medicare away from you and give you this Medicare Advantage plan. Now, Medicare Part A has a deductible, and then if you're in the hospital for a long time, it has some coinsurance. Medicare Part B has a $198 deductible this year, and then it pays 80% of all your outpatient expenses that are approved by Medicare. Well, they will come and take those two things away from you, give you a Medicare Advantage plan, which has it has its own series of cost-sharing elements, like every time you go to the doctor, you might have to pay 10, 20 bucks. Every time you go to a hospital emergency room, you might have to pay 50 bucks. There's coinsurance involved, and they complicate things. They don't really simplify things, but for the purpose of this article, the guy says it's kind of simplification. You don't have Part A and Part B. You just have Part C instead of those other two. They also, he says, have additional coverage that might be valuable to you. And some of that additional coverage is worth it, and sometimes it's not. For instance, dental coverage. They talk about dental. We've got dental coverage included at no additional cost. Well, it's built into the cost. But they might charge you $0 premium because the federal government is paying most of the cost of insuring the population that the insurance company is going after. So for the client, it might be a $0 premium. But the dental coverage that they talk about might not include a benefit for anything other than cleaning and an exam every once in a while. It could be very, very limited coverage. It could be discount coverage. So you only get a certain number of dollars for each dental procedure that you have. They also talk about vision. That might also be a benefit that they include, that they would say is at no cost. So dental, vision, hearing, those things could be included, but they might be very limited coverage. The other thing is they might be limited to a network of doctors, just like the medical doctors in your average Medicare Advantage plan. Limited number of doctors you can go to, and if your dentist or hearing or eye doctor is not in that network, then you're going to have to pick a different dentist or eye doctor or hearing doctor. So, as we go on, he says those things are good because those extra coverages are there. I say, maybe not. You have to examine whether they're good or not. And then he goes into the bad. He says, increasingly, the limited networks that Medicare Advantage plans have, they are a problem for people, especially people that have a winter home somewhere else or people that like to travel. There's always a list of doctors involved. Now, some of these plans are saying, hey, we're opening up a nationwide network that you can tap into anytime you're traveling or living in your vacation home and you need medical treatment. Then we will allow you to use our doctors in a network that we own in a different part of the country. Well, not all companies are doing this, but if you hear that pitch, you have to keep in mind that you're still going to have a list of doctors. You also might still have to ask for permission, for clearance, or approval in order to see a specialist, even a specialist that's within the network. So some of these things make it very awkward to deal with these Medicare Advantage plans. Some of them call themselves PPOs. So If you use their list of doctors, you get the best deal. If you go outside of the network to be treated by a doctor that's not in their list, or that's not in their network, you might still get a benefit, but it's going to be kind of a small benefit. It's not going to be helpful, but at least you get something. So that's what he calls the bad. Oh, also the other thing is managed care. These things try to keep a lid on expenses by telling you that you can't deal with specialists without pre-approval, and you have to go to the doctors on their list, and you have to do a lot of things, follow a lot of rules. Whereas if you had a Medicare Advantage or a Medicare supplement plan, you'd be able to go see any doctor you wanted to, and you'd be able to go see any specialist you wanted to anytime that person chose to see you. So it simplifies things to have a Medicare supplement plan. It gives you freedom of choice, and it's not managed care. It's complete freedom. So then he says the ugly. What is the ugly? Well, I haven't found the ugly there. I think the ugly was folded right into the bed. Ah, here it is. Okay, the ugly. Yeah, managed care, he says, is ugly. I've always thought that too. But under our current administration, the federal government is continuing what started under the Obama administration, which is to remove the federal government from the day-to-day administration of Medicare by it luring people into Medicare Advantage plans. And really, this is what I could have told them, and I've been trying to tell people for years. Back in the 1960s, when Medicare was brand new, they started a big insurance company with 1 million employees, and they wind up paying for medical treatment for older people. Why did they do this? Because there was political pressure to help reduce the cost of medical treatment for older people. And since the population was aging, and it has been aging steadily since then, that Medicare branch of the government has grown and grown and grown. Now, what they do with Medicare Advantage plans is they basically write the insurance company a check, and that relieves them of the need to have tons and tons and tons of employees with all the attendant costs that government employees bring. I could have told them to start Medicare that way from the get-go. Insurance companies were doing a good job of insuring people. The only problem was the financial cost. When you're an older person, insurance costs more because you're more likely to get sick. When you're a younger person, it's a lot cheaper because you're not likely to have the medical problems that need treatment. So what they should have done in the 1960s was just say, all right, for each individual of a certain age, we're going to write the insurance company a check to defray the additional cost. And that would have solved a whole lot of problems. We wouldn't have a giant branch of the government devoted entirely to Medicare expenditures. So they're on the right track with Medicare Advantage plans by the way they're compensating private insurance companies. However, they're taking away the freedoms that people enjoy with their Medicare Plus supplement plan. And that's something I'm never going to approve. No matter how deep in debt the company country goes. So anyway, those are my thoughts about the good, the bad, the ugly of picking up Medicare Advantage plans. And frankly, I'm tired of talking. Talk to me, Randy.
You are very fortunate that I muted my mic over here at the Medicare for the Lazy Man Studios. There was a massive outpouring of boos and hisses, and I don't know what else when you mentioned the name Medicare.
That's
Advantage.
Interesting because I could see your lips moving, but I thought you were singing a song. I didn't realize you were booing and hissing. Yeah, it is. It takes away our freedom. It's an unfortunate fact that they finally hit on the right method to do what they want to do, which is make it more simple and cost effective for older people to have medical insurance. But they did it in a way that traps them in a circle of slavery. I mean, almost. It's basically, there's so many rules and so many hidden costs that they try to nickel and dime people to death with that it's not a good, sound plan for individuals who want freedom of choice and want a simple medical plan to cover them when they get sick.
You are not going to believe this,
no,
Mr.
Boy,
Jones.
Tell me something I'm not going to believe.
We are out of time.
I hate it when that happens. I was hoping to go to the mailbag, but I guess it doesn't matter.
We have eaten our supper, but we didn't get to go out and play at all.
We did get after it, though, so we ought to feel good about that.
We did get after it. So I do have one short question. When you say Medicare A, B, and C, Part A, Part B, and Part C, what is Part C again?
Part C is Medicare Advantage Plans.
So does C stand for crap?
It should, but in this case, they just said, well, let's prove that we know the alphabet. We'll call...
Oh, I see. Okay. And to go back you fell right into that.
I did,
that
and frankly, I don't mind being trapped because other people listening might like the additional elucidation. Why is there a Medicare Part A and a Medicare Part B? Because as we've learned in the past, Part A is for inpatient treatment, hospitals, nursing homes, that kind of thing. Part B is for outpatient treatment. So you have an accident or you get sick, you go to the doctor, you go to the emergency room or whatever. Why are they separated instead of just having one plan with one deductible and so forth? The reason is it's all based on what Blue Cross and Blue Shield came up with back in the 1920s and maybe the 1930s. Back then, they were two separate companies, and they said, okay, we're like the first people to do health insurance. Let's just cover hospital costs because that's the most expensive. Back in those days, what was a hospital room, $5 a day? $10 a day. And then the Blue Shield organization, one of them, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, one was doctors. Blue Cross was doctors. So one covered doctors, one covered hospitals. And the federal government did not use any foresight coming up with a Medicare plan for people in the 1960s when they said, let's force everybody over 65 into this. Because they were just relying on stuff that was decades old at the time instead of carving out a better plan that's easier to understand. So then somebody came along and said, well, let's do this Medicare Advantage thing. What are we going to call it? Let's call it Part C. So now they got people trained like SEALs. The presidential SEAL. And those people are now saying Part C, Part C, Part C. But they don't have a clear understanding. When you have Part C, that takes away Part A and B. You don't have Medicare anymore. You have coverage from a private company that's supposed to do the same thing Medicare does.
You know, I got to tell you, every time you explain how when you you sign up for a Medicare disadvantage plan and Part A and Part B goes by the wayside, it scares me to death, and it should other people as well.
You and I spent I think we went way over time on the podcast episode where we read the study of the fraudulent activity that has gone on in many of the Medicare Advantage carriers.
So and the other thing that drives me nuts, Doug, I didn't mean to overtalk you there, but
that's right.
This is a passionate thing for me. The other thing that drives me nuts is part of that study, if I'm remembering it correctly, also said that quite often, if you get rejected the first time and you file it again or file a grievance or whatever they call it, that it's paid after the fact. So they're just counting on people not to go the extra mile.
Do you remember what the percentage of people who refused or who were too lazy or too scared to go the extra mile was?
It was like 99%. And then of those that go the extra mile, didn't you say like 72% are approved?
75%
Okay, there's a problem with that picture.
That's right. And those are activities that have been observed and measured inside Medicare Advantage plans. So when I tell people that there is a high probability that you're going to be unhappy with a Medicare Advantage plan, and when we see a huge amount of activity and dust stirred up every year at the end of the year when people can go to a different plan, I think we understand why. They're just
I absolutely believe that when you sign up for a Medicare disadvantage plan, they send you a welcome to Medicare disadvantage kit, and there's several dice in there. They're normal,
Not fuzzy.
Six-sided. They're not fuzzy dice. They're normal six-sided dice, and only one side of one of the pair says yes, approved. The other, however many, 11 sides say no, you're screwed.
Ooh, boy, you paint a picture that is not it's not warm and fuzzy. But that's unfortunately what people have to deal with. And what they count on is that the vast majority of people are really not going to have the kinds of problems we're describing. The problems arise infrequently, but when they do, they're just miserable. They make people miserable. And that's when they want to have the freedom to switch to a plan that doesn't have all the rules and the managed care aspects, but often it's too late for them. Their options are gone. Once they've had a stroke or a heart attack or a major problem, cancer, then all of a sudden they can't qualify for the good coverage. This is why you and I encourage them to consider seriously getting the good coverage up front. And even though they might have to pay some money every month to get that good coverage, at least nobody can ever take it away from them.
If you get what you pay for, how many times have we said that?
Yeah, we have. And then, well, I don't know. I could say over and over again, but it's like beating people with sticks, you know?
No, really, this is a free plan. You pay nothing, you get nothing.
Yeah. Oh, well, you'll get plenty until it's time to use it. And then all of a sudden you find out, uh-oh.
Oh, there you go. There you go. I just, every time we delve into this particular topic, Doug, it just drives me nuts because it seems like such a scam.
And for our regular listeners, we are going to warn them that they're going to hear this over and over and over again because there are new people entering the ranks of Medicare all the time who have not yet heard this message. We wouldn't be doing the right thing if we didn't repeat this important message over and over again. So I have to apologize for our regular listeners, but I want them to know that we are aware that it's repetition, but I think it has to be done. It's responsible to get the message out to people coming into Medicare for the first time.
For all you Medicare disadvantaged salespeople, let me give you my home address. It's actually in Texas.
Wow. All right. You better say goodbye, Randy.
We need to land the plane, Doug.
Yeah, I've got my seatbelt fastened, and I'm kissing my butt goodbye as we speak.
There you go. Have you heard the landing gear come down yet?
Oh, I heard a thunk.
It's either the landing gear coming down and locking, or it's something falling off the plane.
Right. Either way, it means we're going to be on the ground before you know it.
One way or the other. Oh, my God. So anyway, thank you, everybody, again for joining us. We certainly appreciate it. You need to go to Amazon.com. You need to look up Doug's book, Medicare for the Lazy Man 2020. It's well worth the read. You need to buy several for your friends and relatives. Whenever Doug allots me a little pile, I always hand them out to my friends and relatives, and they all thank me for it because until you read Doug's book, you may take the wrong path.
And also, if you have any questions, we're always happy to address questions. Send your email to dbj@mlmmailbag.com. And even if you have complaints, even if you don't like us, go ahead and send that in, and we'll turn that frown upside down, and we'll eventually you'll hear your missive, your complaints read on the air, and it'll be like a beautiful thing. You'll love it.
So until we see y'all again, which we're looking forward to, you just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy, sole proprietor of MedicareForTheLazyMan.com, and from Oklahoma.
You got a list of things that
I know,
just going in.
and I keep adding because it's a great list.
Well,
bye,
pretty
everybody.
Soon, that's all that's going to be done. anyway, bye-bye. Thanks for joining us.